powerful truths. Let me rehearse them with you just for a couple of minutes. Because you see, in verse 25, Jesus begins to talk to his disciples. He said, "These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Holy Spirit, or the Helper, whom the Father will send in my name," this is verse 26, "He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said." Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Verse 28, "You've heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I." Verse 29, "And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. For I no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do." Then Jesus throws in, "Arise, let us go from here." I thought, Lord, that's pretty powerful. I think we could build a church, a denomination. We could build a whole ministry on just what you said in those five verses. And all of a sudden you're saying, "Arise, let us go from here." You know that no matter where you are in your Christian life, it's not over. No matter how much knowledge you have, how many great experiences you've had with God, how many times you've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, be careful. Don't camp out there. Because God always has more. Just when you think you've got God down, He's ready to take you further. He's ready to take you deeper. He's ready to take you up a little bit higher. Come on, look at somebody and say, "I'm ready to go higher. I'm ready to go higher. I want to go deeper with God. I don't want to just hang out on all that I've known in the past. I want to rise from here." So I've titled this message simply, "Breaking Camp." Now, most of the time when people get settled, it's real hard to get them to move, especially when they get a little older. You say, "How do you know that?" Because I've gotten a little older. And anytime the Lord speaks to me and say, "Come on, Lou, we're going to move from here. We're going to move on." I'm thinking, "God, you know what? I like this place. This is comfortable. I've got it all worked out. I mean, everything is the way I like it." And all of a sudden, it's like some of your wives, they want to pull down the wallpaper that you fought over nearly divorced about 3 years earlier, and they want to remodel. It's, "Honey, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with the wallpaper." God's much like that. He wants to constantly remodel and redo and take us into new relationships with Him. And the natural part of our lives are resistant to that. We don't want to move. But notice the progression of faith that Jesus discloses to His disciples. If you look at that particular portion of Scripture again, you'll notice that He talks about regeneration. He talks about how a man and a woman needs to be saved through himself. He also talks about the power of the Holy Spirit and how a Spirit-led life is the way to live. He talked about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He also talked about the life of peace. He said, "My peace I give to you." That's why Paul wrote at the church at Philippi, and he said, "Let the peace of God guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." That's because Jesus taught on peace. But he also talked about being set apart for God. Did you notice that one section where Jesus said, "The enemy or the god of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me"? Jesus was saying, "I have so separated myself from the elements of this world, from evil, that the devil has no right." As a matter of fact, the Bible said a curse cannot alight upon you without a cause. In other words, if we haven't engaged in it, the devil has no right to lay it on us. And Jesus was saying, "I've not sinned. I've not given the devil licensure to put anything on me. He has nothing in me." Boy, that's a powerful goal for all of us, isn't it? That when the enemy comes, he can't find one little hook to hang his chain in our lives. Jesus goes on to say in that particular portion of Scripture this. He said, "You and I need to learn how to love God and one another." In other words, the love walk is what I want you to establish. Now, you would think after he talked about the love walk, the peace of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the regenerated life, all of those things, you'd think, wow, we've arrived in the kingdom of God. But then what did he say? Arise and let us go from here. I want you to know that today, prophetically, the Holy Spirit is speaking to individual lives as well as corporate bodies all around the world, that it is time for us to move with the Holy Spirit. We are entering into a new season. And the season I believe we're moving into is the fullness or the discovery of the kingdom of God. It's no longer about your church or my church or someone else's denomination. The things that used to divide us are being transcended now by the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And God's saying, you know what? This isn't about all of you. This is about me. And I want to build my kingdom on the earth. So we're beginning to sense that and feel that, that God is all about His kingdom. After all, we do have a king, don't we? And He does have a kingdom. He is our Father, isn't He? And we are His sons and daughters, so we shall rule and reign with Him. That's what Jesus was actually talking about. He's saying, look, we need to move on. I believe things are one in transition. You know, when you think about the disciples and how they came out of Judaism, you know, Jesus came to them and said, you've got to believe in me in order to get to the Father. They had been raised as Hebrews all their life, keeping the law of Moses. And suddenly, they got converted and became a Baptist. Think about that. All of a sudden, from a Jew just practicing his Judaism, now they're Baptists. I don't know if they were Southern or Northern, but I know this, they were Baptists. But they didn't stay a Baptist. Jesus told them to go in the upper room. He said, when you're in that upper room, you're going to be clothed with power. Suddenly the wind began to blow and the fire began to fall. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Well, they left the Baptist church and went over to the Pentecostal church. It's all about transition. Can you imagine being practicing Judaism, then all of a sudden being a staunch Baptist, and then getting in there to be a crazy Pentecostal? But you know, they didn't stay there either. Because God commissioned them to go into all the world and preach and establish churches. And suddenly they walked into the prophetic realm and the apostolic realm. And they had to learn how to make these transitions. Some of us are stuck in our Baptist mentality. Some of us are stuck in our Pentecostal way of thinking. Come on, church. We've got to learn that Jesus said, arise and what? Let us go from here. Now, we are moving closer and closer to the Holy of Holies. We want to be in the presence of a living God. And I'm so thankful we are now in this era. I can look back 30 years ago when I first came into the kingdom of God. Well, let's see, 37 years ago. Well, it's been a long time. But when I first got saved, the church was at a certain level. It was a certain understanding. And how we have grown and how we all have matured and how we have journeyed on with Christ. And some along the way have been happy to camp out. But I'm here today to tell you, like Joshua, in 3 days, we're going to cross over the Jordan and we're going to possess the land. Come on, pack up your stuff. Put your tent away. Come on, get your boxes out. Go get your U-Haul. It's time to move on with God. Amen. It's time to move on with God. John chapter 14 and verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, Paul knew about this place. He said, you know, there is a place in God. And I know we interpret that historically, theologically, as Jesus going to heaven. And we are going to follow Him there. But let me tell you something. When you begin to look at Ephesians chapter 1 and the apostolic prayer of Paul, look at verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 1. What a powerful prayer. Paul understood that there was a place for us here in this earth that is beyond churchianity, beyond just an immature beginner's level. Did you know that we can walk intimately with God every day of our life? That's what the beauty of our faith is. It's about relationship. It's not about religion. That's why people who are religious don't understand you. It's sort of like the world all have bad marriages. And you come to the party and you guys are acting like you just got married and you've been hooked up for 30 years. You're still holding hands. You're still kissing and, you know, all those kind of things publicly. And you're still laughing. You're not mad. When you go to sit down in the party, you sit next to each other. One of you on one side of the room and the other one on the other side of the room. And everybody else there is like angry and mad at you. Like, what's going on with them? Are they on drugs? I mean, what's happening? I'll bet you that's not the way they live at home. I mean, they can't hardly handle the fact that you have a relationship with your spouse. Because nobody else does. And that's how religion looks at it. When they come across a person who's walking with Jesus, who has developed intimacy with the Holy Spirit, who walks around with a big smile on your face, and you've got peace like a river. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. It could be hell breaking loose. And you're still worshiping your Jesus. And they're going, oh, I don't understand those people. I don't know why they have that. It's because we've learned to break camp. We've learned about relationship. And we've left religion behind. I want to encourage every one of us to leave our religion. The things that have held us back. Traditions. Man's way of doing things. Let's leave it behind. And let's start demonstrating to this age that there is an opportunity for intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, put your Bibles down. I think that's a good praise break right there. Let's lift our hands and thank God that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, we're thankful this morning that we have been invited into your glory and into your presence. What an awesome God you are. You see, it's all about relationship. And while we're all here and we're blessed, aren't we, to be here this morning? Man, I'm blessed. But there are some people that aren't here this morning. There are some people that are home and they're struggling with physical frailty. As a matter of fact, one of our dear sisters, Sylvia Salva. John, I don't know where you're at here this morning. Where are you sitting? John, there he is, way over there. And Robin, we were over at the house yesterday praying with her. Doctor's given a bad report. I went there to try to encourage her. Ooh, man, did she start preaching to me? I'll tell you what. I left there going, wow, let's go find a devil and cast him out or something. I mean, but I told her, she's watching this morning live upstream. And I said, you know what? You're going to be in that little room all by yourself. But we're not going to forget you. As a matter of fact, we're all going to say good morning, Sylvia. You want to do that? Because she's watching right now. There's the camera. If you'll all look over and look behind you and just wave at her and say, good morning, Sylvia. We haven't forgot about you. Hallelujah. See, it's all about relationships. You say, oh, that doesn't mean anything. If it's you in that bed with the report that the doctor gave, if it's you in that physical frail body, and all of a sudden all your friends say, hey, how you doing? I haven't forgot about you. Suddenly you're energized because you know that there is love in this room. And that's what God is offering you and me today. The power of His love. And in order for us to get to it, we've got to leave some stuff that's been hanging on. Can you make a commitment today to leave anything that's been interrupting you from pursuing the love of God? Can you make a commitment today to let go of bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, any issue that you may have with anybody else? Because you know that those things have become roadblocks between you and God. Can you say, I'm breaking camp? I have circled this mountain long enough. It's time to turn upward. It's time to go north. It's time to pursue God. Amen. See, that's what the Holy Spirit is inviting us to do. Paul said this, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. See, Paul understood there is a place that Jesus is prepared for us. Yeah, heaven is our place, but Jesus has a place prepared for you this morning. If you're living here in anguish, if you're sitting here today in depression, if you're sitting here today in confusion or under the power of an addiction, maybe you have had bitterness like a root grow up in your life to the point you are so angry most of your life. Did you know you don't have to live in that campsite? Did you know that you can break camp and you can leave that place? You know why? Because Jesus has prepared a place for you. And that place He's prepared has nothing to do with all of those past issues. We need to learn to leave the elementary principles and move on in the deeper revelation of who Jesus Christ is. I don't know why it's so popular today to accommodate people's anger. I don't know why it is today to preach that it's all right to live a carnal life driven by the appetites of the flesh. And we all preach, well, God understands. He knows you're only human. I mean, that sounds so great, but it's so old school. It is encouraging you to stay in the camp of uncertainty. It is encouraging you to stay in the camp of broken and fractured relationships. It's encouraging us to stay in a camp called self-centeredness. When Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and then in verse 31 He says, arise, let us go up from here. Can I tell you today, it's time for us to move on with God. It's time for us to turn off the TV. It's time for us to let the video games go. It's time for us to let unforgiveness drop. It's time for us to take on the Holy Spirit's intimacy and say, you know what, God? I'm going with You. And it doesn't matter who else comes or who else goes. I know I've got my mind fixed on one thing. Just like Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm going to press. Everybody say press.
Press.
You know, when you press a shirt, Tina pressed my shirt for me this morning. She used a hot iron. Can you imagine trying to press this shirt with a cold iron? Can you imagine she's in there singing, praise the name of Jesus. And I come in and say, hi, honey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm pressing your shirt, but I don't see any change. I don't see anything changing. I'm thinking, Tina, are you sure you pressed the shirt? Because it looks terrible. Oh, you didn't plug it in. Oh, you didn't let it get hot. Did you know in order to press, you need heat? And it's usually caused by resistance. How many want to press into Jesus?
Amen.
Well, guess what? It's going to get hot. But that's okay. Because it's just momentary resistance. The end product, you're going to look so good. Go get all the wrinkles out. Come on. Look at somebody and say, you're going to look good, man. You're going to look good when you get through this trial. It's all right. A little bit of heat and a little bit of pressure. A little bit of heat and a little bit of pressure. And suddenly, you've got a great finished product. Now, some of you men need to learn that before you come to church. A little bit of heat, a little bit of pressure on that shirt. And I tell you, if you're single, you'll probably find somebody a little quicker. You look like you slept in your shirt, dude. Come on, what's going on? Huh? See, that's what we've done. We've raised up an entire church generation. We've taken out pressure and we've taken out the heat. And we're all going around, all wrinkled, looking like we slept in it. Or that you got drug in by a cat or a dog. You know how mom used to say, God wants us to be sharp. He said, I'm preparing a church without what? Spot or? You see, a little pressure, don't you worry about it. A little bit of heat, don't you get nervous. God's in control. He's going to take what the devil meant for evil to scorch you and to burn you, and He's going to turn it for good. He's going to straighten things out. Come on, squeeze somebody's hand and just tell them it's going to be all right. Come on, it's going to be all right. Arise, let us go from here. The word arise is powerful. Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for the light has come. Arise is talking about change your position. Come on, you and I have got to change our positions. We've got to come to church skipping. We've got to come to church singing. Come to church with a tambourine playing in the parking lot. Don't wait till you get in here. We got to come with a new position, a new attitude. I'm going to get a new makeover. You know, Jesus can give you a much better makeover than Oprah. Man, I'll tell you, you're going to look good. You just allow the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 6, look at this verse. You know this one, you've read it I don't know how many times, but look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving. I remember when I was a young boy, and I don't know if this was when Tina and I first met, or maybe it was prior to her with my other girlfriend. I'm just kidding. I've only had one girlfriend, and that's you. But there was a song out. And it says, I'm leaving on a jet plane. Remember that one, you old timers? I don't know when I'll be back again. Leaving on a jet plane. What does leaving mean? Okay, I'm departing here and I'm not coming back, all right? And look, where you are, I'm not. Because I have a destination that I'm going to, okay? So when you get in the car to leave, say, I'm leaving now, Mom, I'm leaving. That means you're departing from where you've been. The writer of Hebrews simply said this, therefore, departing from where you've been, leaving, get on the jet plane, take the boat, the bus, the taxi, whatever you got to do, but just get out of Dodge, all right? That's what he was saying. Leave the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. He said, leave it. Wait a minute. Those are so important to me. They could stay important, but you got to move on. Put your Sunday school pins away. You know what I'm saying? We're glad you got 14 certificates on all of your Bible classes. Congratulations. Put them in a drawer. Leaving. Because we need to move on to what? Say it with me. It's an open book test. Perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Leaving means to separate from. Elementary means the beginning. The Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to leave the beginning place of your faith. Some of us have been in church for 20 years. But you haven't grown spiritually. You're still volatile, angry. You could be offended at the drop of a hat. You haven't matured. You haven't gone on to maturity. And that's what that word perfection is. Maturity. You're about as juvenile as you were when you got saved. Smile back at me. I'm trying to be nice. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, we've got to leave that place. I've got to take an inventory of myself. Do I walk in that love Jesus was talking about in John 14? Do I have that peace in the midst of the storm that Jesus was talking about? Well, gosh, maybe I'm not even in the beginning place yet. And God's telling me to leave that, and I haven't even got there. It's time for us to take an inventory of where we are in our journey with God. Because the journey is continuing. The church is not slowing down. The kingdom of God is not waiting. It's moving on. So you and I have to move with the cloud. We have to move with the fire. John 14, verses 5 to 6. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there's your answer. How do I leave here to get there? How do I separate myself from the beginning? You got to get a hold of Jesus. Jesus is the way. He's your ticket. He's your plane. He's your boat. He's your taxi. He's that thing that's going to cause you to leave where you've been. Jesus said, I am the Word. You see, it was the Word that was made flesh. So you and I have got to embrace the Word of God. How many times have you read the Bible this year? Have you read the Bible yet this year? You see, we need to begin a steady diet of Jesus every day. Because as you board the plane, you know, you could have a ticket, but if you don't get on, you're still where you were. You could go through all the motions, like Tina trying to iron my shirt without it being plugged in, and you look like a Christian. You look like a great housekeeper. You look like a businessman about to get on a plane, but you never got out of the seat because you got distracted. Something else became more important than your separation from where you've been. You and I need to get on the plane. You and I need to make a choice today. I'm breaking camp. I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm moving on with God. I'm not going to allow these things to interrupt my relationship with others and with God. I'm moving on. I'm not going to allow thoughts of my past. I'm not going to allow memories to haunt me and to become the Lord of my life. I'm moving on. I want to move on with God. And sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes there are people who won't let you leave. Boy, it's hard to leave. I remember those times when I was in the Navy and I had to go home. I was only home for a couple of days. One time I hitchhiked all the way from Pennsylvania just to see her for 2 days. Got back on the turnpike and hitchhiked all the way back. But saying goodbye was tough. She didn't want me to leave. She was a wreck. She was crying, holding on to me, screaming, "No!" I said, "Baby, I got to go. I got to serve my country. I got things to do. Get off me, woman." She wouldn't let me go. She's holding on to my leg out the door, clinging to me. She still does this. I said, "I got to go to church." She goes, "No!" Actually, it's the other way around. "What do you mean you got to go get milk?" "Don't leave me." Sometimes it's hard. And sometimes we have relationships that are clingy. And even though you want to leave, they won't let you go. And the moment that you try to break that relationship, they start trying to manipulate you and control you with guilt. There are some relationships you've got to leave. There are some people that are not promoting you. They are demoting you. You got to leave them. There are some people that are not adding to you. They're subtracting to you. You got to leave them. Don't be afraid to leave some things in your life that aren't contributing to the journey of where Christ has called us to be. It's time to break camp. It's time for us to move on as a church. And I feel that. I feel that. That's what we're doing. We've turned the corner. We've gone around the mountain long enough. It's time now to go forward and possess the promised land of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. I believe that. Amen. The place called there is where we're going. Sort of like Paul. Sort of like Peter. Sort of like James. Sort of like all the apostles. They pressed on to the mark. They knew that there was a place that they had to get to in God. You know, John the Revelator, of which we're going to start the book of Revelation here just in a few weeks. We're going to go through the entirety of the book of Revelation on Wednesday and Thursday nights. You're going to love that. If you miss one night, you can get the other. But I'll tell you that it's an important thing to understand that we have a process. There is something that God has before us. Peter on the day of Pentecost. Remember that? It was prophesied by Joel thousands of years earlier. And what did he say? He said, "This is that the prophet Joel began to speak about. We're here. We made it. This is our destination." You know, we have to become like children. Don't children, don't you love kids? How many hate children? Don't you raise your hand. We're going to pray for you right now. Don't you? How many love children? Let me see your hand. Aren't they cute? Especially when they're not yours, you know. Don't you love this? You get around families, they go, "Your son and your daughter, they're just so wonderful and so polite. And we just love having them over the house." You're going, thinking, "You talking about my kid?" Because that's sure not my kid. But you love children. Jesus said, unless you become like a little, you shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know what children do when you're on a journey? Are we there yet? 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 No, 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 no! Did you ever do that with your kids? Have they ever bugged you? Look, it's only 2 minutes. You've asked 2 minutes ago. Daddy told you we have 30 more minutes. So we're not going to be there for 30 more minutes. Okay, Daddy. 2 minutes later. Are we there yet? Did you just disregard everything I just told you? Don't make me stop this car because I've about lost my patience with you. And Jesus said, unless you become like that, you'll never break camp. Are we there yet, Daddy God? Are we there yet, Daddy God? Is this it today? Is this the service? Is this the Bible reading? Is this the moment of prayer? Am I there yet, God? Oh, I want to come. I want to go. I want to be there. And they get so excited, they almost jump out of their skin. Have you ever noticed? God said, I want my children, I want my church to be like that. Anticipating the arrival of a place called there that I prepared for them. In Philippians chapter 3 and 10, Paul said this, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, be conformed to his death. I want to get to there. I want to be there. I want to know him. I don't want to know about him. I just don't want to know some things. I want to know everything. I want to know what kind of soup he ate. I want to know, did he prefer linen or did he prefer wool? I want to know, what did Jesus do in the morning? What was his habits? How did he respond to those that accused him? How did he relate to those that maybe were betraying him? What did he do? How did he live his life? Somebody coined that, didn't they? What would Jesus do? You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get on board. We're leaving here. It's time for us to move forward. It's time for us to break camp. It's time for us to recognize we have a destination. We're going somewhere. I'm so thankful that you're on the bus with me. I'm so thankful that you've determined that you're going to go on this journey with us. Because you know what, Tina and I, we're not content to stay where we've been. We're excited to move forward and to enjoy and explore like an adventure all that God has prepared for us. Do you want to come? We're going on this journey. We're going on this vacation, if you will. We're going on this trip. Do you want to come? There's room for you. There's room for every person. Come on, pack your bag. Let's make a decision. Let's leave where we've been. Let's get on board. That's what God said to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 2. I'm almost done. Don't get nervous. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Look at this. He tells us, as they were wandering in the wilderness, when we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord directed me, and for many days we journeyed around Mount Seir. I don't want you to get too disheartened because some of us have been on this journey by God. We've gone around the mountain because he said, you know, you didn't get it yet. Go around again. I know the mountain. I know the path. Go around again, I said. God, look, I know better for me than you, so just let me go on. He said, go around the mountain again. God directed Moses. Look at the next verse in Deuteronomy chapter 2. He said this, and the Lord spoke to me. Wow. That's my prayer on this sermon. You've been going around the mountain. And the Lord spoke to you, Paul. The Lord spoke to us, Doc. The Lord is speaking to us, and this is what he's saying. Look at the next verse. You have roamed around this mountain long enough. Turn northward. Now, northward was Canaan. Northward was the promised land. Whoo, I'm excited. Northward was the promised land. That's why I'm so glad we're church on the northward. I always claim that. I see something in the Bible that said, yes, Jesus, yes, north. Mount Zion is built on the sides of the north. Yes, church on the north. But he wants us to turn northward. In other words, turn toward the promises of God. I believe that this church and many others like it all across the world, but in America, are going to be turning from where we've been to the promises of God. Amen. We're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. We're going to see healings and deliverances. We're going to see marriages put back together. We're going to have such expectancy that no matter what's presented to us in a prayer request, we're like, well, this is no big deal for God. Let's just believe God and pray. We're moving toward the promises of God. If you don't have a destination today, if you don't have a there in your life, you know what's going to happen? You're going to go in circles, just like the Bible said. You know, I was intrigued by that concept, and so I did a little research this week. You know what I found out? Scientists have proven that to be true. Listen to some of the findings. This will blow your mind. It says if a person can see the final destination, they can walk in a straight line toward it. But if there is no defined path, no defined purpose or destination, it will result in a person curving or circling. Now, it's interesting. You'll either curve or circle to your dominant left or right side of your brain. So whatever's dominant in your life, you curve toward. If alcohol is dominant, you will curve toward alcohol. And you go in this circular motion of putting it down, picking it up, putting it down, picking it up. Whatever's dominant in your life, you begin to encircle. But if you have a destination, you can come out of that pathway of circling, break the dominance of what's been controlling your direction, and you can pursue a destiny. Now, this was actually proven scientifically. Listen to the rest of it. People who are lost and can't see a defined path or a final destination will always walk in circles. Have you thought about heaven recently? Have you thought about the purposes of God for your family recently? Maybe your family is going in circles because you don't have a clearly defined destination. I think this morning it's time to break camp. It's time for us to advance in God. Let me say this. When you don't walk in God's will, when you don't walk in God's will, you just walk around and around and around. Or let me say this. When you don't walk in God's will, you walk into church and you walk out of church. And you walk into church 2.4 times a month and you walk out of church. But when you walk in God's will, you don't walk around. You walk toward. It's a big difference. Listen to this statement. Motion isn't always progress. Do you remember Tina ironing my shirt? Now, this didn't actually happen. I'm just using it as an illustration. She had it plugged in. Motion doesn't mean there's progress. She could move the iron back and forth, level out the garment, go through all the motion and make no progress. You can get your Bible and bring it to church, drive to church, drop your children off, sit in the auditorium, sing the song, and never get plugged in and make no progress. But this is a day when the Holy Spirit is saying, break camp. Let's change church as usual, life as usual. Let's break the patterns that have kept us walking in circles. And let's move forward in God. Do you want to go there? There's room for you. There's room for your family. It's time to break camp. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask this morning that our lives would be changed. Because so many of us have just been walking around. Now I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, and He's going to come in a special way right now. Because what I'm about to say is going to challenge some of us. Because I've been challenged. We've been walking around with unnecessary burdens. We've been walking around with unresolved conflicts. We've been walking around with unforgiveness. We've been walking around with disobedience. We've been walking around with selfishness. We've been walking around with brokenness. And we've been walking around with stubbornness. We've been walking around with loneliness. We've been walking around with separation. We've been walking around with addictions. We've been walking around with so many things that have become the dominant, curving influence, and we've made no progress with God. But today, it's time to turn northward. It's time to make a decision to say, Holy Spirit, I don't want to walk around anymore. I want to follow You. I want to follow You, God, into the promises of Your holy word. So lead me, Holy Spirit, and I will follow. With every head bowed and eyes are closed, let me ask this question. Today, do you need a new direction in your life? Do you need to make an advance from where you've been camping out all these years? Are you ready? Are you ready for an adventure with God? A journey with Jesus? Wow. How many would say today, hey preacher, I'm ready. That's you. Would you lift up a hand? I'm ready. Oh yeah. I'm ready. Come on. Well, lots of hands are going up. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm going to leave some stuff. I'm going to leave some things, and I'm not coming back. Oh, I'm not coming back. You can put your hands down. You say, hey, pastor, I don't even have my ticket. How can I get on board? How do I access this journey? Well, you see, the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by Him. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then even though you want to, you want to move on, but you can't. So you got to have Jesus. You say, okay, how do I do that? Well, the Bible's clear. You'll confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. You can get on board. You can be saved. You can go to that destination called heaven. That's your home. So now, no one looking around. You say, pastor, you know what? That's clear as a bell to me. I fully understand. I want Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Would you pray for me? That's you. Would you lift your hand up? Do it quickly. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You can put it down. Anybody else? Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on, the train's about to go. We got to leave. But you know what? There's still room and there's still time. You can buy a ticket the last minute or you can get it 10 years ago. It doesn't matter. As long as you've got the ticket. Do you got Jesus in your life? Do you have Jesus in your heart? If you already raised your hand, don't do it again. But if you have it, come on, do it now. Do you want it? Thank you, sir, way in the back. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on, altar ministers, come across here. Thank you, bud. Thank you. Come on, altar ministers. I want you to do something with me. Sir, ma'am, those of you that raised your hand and said, I want Jesus Christ. I want you to stand up, everybody. And as we do, come on, church, stand up. As you do, let's give them an encouragement. If you raise your hand, come to this altar right now. Come on, sir, would you? Come on, young man, come on. God has a plan for you. Come on, sir. Come on, you need to come. Come on, sir. Come on. Yay! Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's wonderful. Come on, there are about 8 or 9 people. So look at somebody with love in your eyes. Come on, soft-spoken word. Say, sweetheart, if you raise your hand, I'll go with you. Take them by the hand and walk them to this altar. Would you do that? Come on, reach over and look at somebody. Say, did you raise your hand? If you did, let's go. Come on, let's go. It's time to leave where you've been. And it's time to walk hard after Jesus Christ. Come on. Bring them down to the altar. Hallelujah. Amen. Ah, that's wonderful. Good to see all of them here. Thank you, sir. Come. There's plenty of room. There's plenty of room. Yeah, come on. This is a great weekend. Come on, this is a great weekend. Oh, yeah. Pray with him. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, can we pray with these, beloved? Come on, let's do that. Let's pray with them. You know, our tradition is to extend out a hand. We do that because the Hebrew, when the hand was extended, was a declaration of their faith. Come on, reach a hand out to them. Would you do that? Let's pray for them. Father, for everyone, young, old, middle-aged, men, women, softer, please, softer. I pray for them that they would be touched by the Holy Spirit right now. Lord, as a congregation, we're blessing them. We're praying that their life will never be the same. We, Father, now, with the Holy Spirit, are helping them take their baggage off their backs. Come on, addictions, break in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness, go in Jesus' name. Come on, hope, come. Joy, come. Peace, come. Let the love of God well up in their hearts through Jesus Christ. And we'll give you all the glory, all the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Now, church, before we go today, we've got 2 important things to do. Number one, I've got to talk to you a little bit on the way out. Our offering bags are at the door. We don't pass them anymore. We just make it available. I'm asking you to be faithful in your tithe to this house. That's how we operate. I want to say thank you in advance. And then, finally, we also have a very special presentation that'll take just a couple minutes. Pastor Troy's coming to introduce it so that we can continue to be the best possible ministry we can be. And it's about our security around the church facility. So would you be so kind to look at somebody and smile real big? Come on, look at somebody and smile real big. All right, and then you could be seated. Pastor Troy's coming. Thank you all. All right. God bless you. We're off to the other location. We'll see you soon.
I want to give your pastor a great big hand this morning. Well, as culture pushes towards the end of time.